Good morning, my dear brethren and sisters, and especially our young people. We traced yesterday the failure of the man Balaam. The man who began in the record as a man who prayed to Yahweh and sought the guidance of Yahweh as to how he should direct his life. But the man who made a drastic mistake by failing to remove temptation from his doorstep. A man who made provision for the flesh to fulfil the lust thereof, and whose greed took him over and led him down the 6 steps to disaster. And we saw how Balaam was moved by the money that was dangled in front of his eyes to go with the princes of Moab. In defiance of the command of Yahweh, thou shalt not go with them, because the people that you are to curse are a blessed people. And despite all that God had said, he invited temptation to stay a second night in his house and found himself eventually rushing headlong to destruction. He made the mistake of only listening to part of what the word of God had to say. And he didn't listen to the if that's there in verse 20. If the men come to call thee, you can go. And Balaam was up, had his ass saddled, and away he went, chasing after the rewards of unrighteousness, rushing greedily in the way of Balaam, as Jude would have it. And we found him rushing headlong to destruction. The angel says in verse 30, I came out to withstand thee, Balaam, verse 32, sorry, I came out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse. And Rotherham translates the words, thy way is headlong. It's like a man running downhill so fast he can't stop. It's rather a dreadful feeling. There's only one result for that man, and that's to come crashing on his face. And that's just where Balaam ends up, flat on his face before the sword of judgment. He's rushing headlong downhill, and that's what the path to sin is like. A very gradual slope to start with, but once you get going, it's like going straight downhill. And that's the way that Balaam went, ending up, of course, as we're going to see later on, in trying to destroy the ecclesia as well. We're now coming to verse 21 to 30 of chapter 22, which is a remarkable little section concerning the ass. And we're only going to go down to verse 32 because we want to concentrate this morning on this wonderful example that we have in the record, Balaam's ass. You see, the ass that was there was such a remarkable creature to evidence the mercy of God towards Balaam. And very much did that man need mercy. We find in verse 22 that God's anger was kindled because he was actually going, as the companion Bible says. He was really going. He hadn't waited for the condition that the Moabites should come to wake him up in the morning. He was away and gone. And God's anger was kindled because he was actually going. And the Moabites, of course, and the princes of Midian were probably riding camels. And so they moved on ahead. And Balaam took off on an ass, which is, of course, a much slower animal. And he was coming along behind. We realise when we get to the end of the chapter that the Moabites have gone home, got Balak, and come back to meet him at the border. So they had travelled much quicker than Balaam. And so he's travelling on his own, but not quite. Here's one of those cases we need to think about the scripture. And when we realise the significance of this ass, that the ass represents the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a type of Christ, of the faithful burden bearer, carrying the burdens of the sinful. When you realise that that's what's being portrayed here in Balaam's ass, you come to the end of verse 22 and you have one of those little gems in the scripture. You tell me any reason it should mention that Balaam was riding his ass and 2 servants were with him. Because those servants are never mentioned again in the record. Think about it. A little gem of scripture to make the time. There's not one other single reason why I should mention those 2 servants other than to tell us that Balaam's ass was crucified between 2. There were 3 of them. All obviously riding upon asses because they were going the same pace. And Balaam's ass was the one that was crucified amidst 2 others. It's exactly the same reason you find in Genesis 22 when Abraham and Isaac went to Mount Moriah, that they took with them 2 servants that Isaac might be one amidst two others. A little gem of scripture just to fill out the time. And there's no other mention of those servants again in the record. And so you have a little indication that, again, we have the faithful burden bearer being portrayed. And we find in verse 22 that the angel of God's presence met this man, Balaam. Which angel was this? Well, we're really in no doubt as to which angel it was. An angel had been sent by God to lead Israel into the promised land. The angel of his presence that had guided them and shepherded them through the wilderness. I will send an angel before thee. Beware of him, for my name is in him. It was the name-bearing angel. My presence shall go with thee, said God. And when Joshua confronted this angel near Jericho, he said to Joshua, I am the prince of the host of Yahweh. And of course we know the prince of the host of Yahweh was Michael the archangel. And when you put all the scriptures together, we're left in almost no doubt as to who that angel was. He was the great and mighty angel sent to protect Israel, and he's withstanding a man who's going out to try and curse them. And it was said of that angel that he would go before them into the land of Canaan and cut off their enemies. And here he was now, standing in the path of this man Balaam, with a sword drawn in his hand. And Balaam didn't realize just how close to judgment he was. He was the captain of Yahweh's army, a great and a mighty angel, hovering in judgment over him with a sword drawn in his hand. But before that sword falls, we're going to find a wonderful example of the goodness of God towards this man. Peter says, the dumb ass rebuked the madness of the prophet. And God reasons with Balaam through the mouth of that ass in one last attempt to save him from himself. God could have quite justly wiped him out on the spot. But that's the way God deals with you and me, isn't it? He hath not dealt with us according to our iniquities, nor awarded us according to our sins, says the psalmist in Psalm 103. And we wonder, don't we, how many times when we've been rushing headlong down the course to disaster, that God has very mercifully provided for us faithful friends to turn us from our evil way. When God has held off the sword of judgment and given us one more chance to repent, how God has still persisted with us, even when we're rushing down the path of destruction. And sometimes God will move through a faithful, loyal friend. And there are important lessons in this record. There are important lessons on both sides of the coin. Because sometimes we find ourselves in the position of Balaam. Sometimes we find ourselves in the position of the ass. And we can learn much from each of those positions. It is our lot sometimes to be burden bearers like the ass. To bear the burdens of others. To try and turn them back into the path of righteousness. And sometimes we are like Balaam, rushing headlong in stubbornness and pride. And refusing the correction of those who would try and turn us into the way. And in choosing the ass, God chose a very appropriate animal. When you go through the scripture and you put together what the scripture has to say about the ass, we find that the theme of the faithful burden bearer comes through very well. And it includes every one of us. Every one of us are called to be faithful burden bearers. Bear one another's burdens, said the apostle. It's not just a job for the arranging brethren. Every one of us have the responsibility to go out and to carry the burdens of those who are being affected by an evil world. And the ass said of itself in verse 30, Am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? Look, Balaam, I've been loyal all your life. I have been a consistent friend. I've never disobeyed you before. I've never opposed you before. And the ass was a loyal friend. If you check later on Isaiah 1 verse 3, you'll find that it says there that the ass knoweth its master's crib. Is it a creature of loyalty? It's a creature you can rely upon. And it gives its life to serve others. It is used to carrying great burdens. It has great endurance and fortitude. It could travel long distances to carry those burdens. And it's sure-footed and able to work hard. And finally, it's ridden by royalty. And you see, the ass was a creature noted for its docility. It was normally harmless. A very gentle creature was the ass. Joseph put his wife Mary on an ass to take her to Bethlehem because she was with young. And the gentle ass had that task of carrying Mary, bearing a burden. And when you think of the proportion of the weight of carrying a human being, the ass is only a small creature by comparison. And for its size, it is able to carry enormous burdens. And we have there the parable of burden bearers. Bear ye one another's burdens. Help each other carry the weights of life. That's the law of Christ. This is my commandment, said the Lord Jesus Christ, that you love one another. That a man lay down his life for his friends. It was the law that the Lord Jesus Christ showed us by example. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He carried our griefs and he bore our sorrows. He was, of course, the supreme burden bearer. He was the good shepherd who took the lost sheep and put it upon his shoulders and carried it back into the flock. And brethren and sisters, as we face an evil age, and young people, as we face an evil age, we need burden bearers in the ecclesia today. Those who will go and seek those who are straying out of the way and carry them back into the ecclesial vineyard. Those who are willing to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, the law of the example of Christ who carried the burdens of the world. And in Balaam's ass, we can learn some lessons about carrying burdens and the problems it will bring to you when you try and do it. Let's take up the narrative in verse 22 again. The Moabites had gone ahead and Balaam is rushing headlong towards destruction. And there is the justice of God hovering over him. And yet there is the mercy of God giving him one last chance. And in verse 23 we find the angel standing in the way with the sword drawn. And whenever you see an angel with a sword in the Bible, you can be assured that judgment is about to fall. The angel that was sent to protect Israel was an angel that had a sword drawn in its hand. I will go before thee and cut off thine enemies. Exodus 23. He appeared to Joshua next to Jericho with a sword drawn in his hand and told Joshua they would be destroyed before Israel. It was the angel with the sword drawn that hovered over Jerusalem in the case of David's sin in numbering the people. And he stood there with a sword drawn about to drop on Jerusalem. And it was the angel with the sword drawn that judged Balaam. And this was not an angel to be trifled with. Provoke him not, for he will not forgive your transgressions, said God. And there was the judgment of God about to fall upon Balaam. And he was standing in the way. This was not the way of God. It was not the way of truth. This was the way of Balaam. He was standing in the way of Balaam. The way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end of that way are the paths of death, says the Proverbs. He was standing in the way that Balaam was going toward destruction. The broad way. And the angel was standing there to resist Balaam. Peter says they have forsaken the right way and gone in the way of Balaam. And here he was, rushing headlong. And the angel standing there to obstruct him. And then remarkable things happen in verse 23. The ass saw the angel. And Balaam didn't. Isn't that incredible? And you see, faithful burden bearers, those who go out to try and save their brethren and sisters from destruction, do so because they are sensitive to divine judgment. They realise that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And they look at their brethren and sisters who are straying out of the way and they say, I can't leave them to go to the path of destruction. They are sensitive to the divine presence. They know that God is there around about them. And because they see the presence of the angel, they desperately try and bring those who are straying out of the way back into the ecclesial vineyard. In a spirit of meekness, considering themselves, because they're aware of the divine presence, they try and save the erring. And we find that the ass, having perceived that the angel was there, that Balaam was about to be judged, the ass turned aside out of the way, off the broad path of destruction. And where did it go? It went into a field. And the field is the ecclesial fruitfulness that God desires. Later it turns into a vineyard, into the ecclesial vineyard. And it's trying to bring the straying brother back into the area where he can produce fruit to the glory of God. And to take him off the broad path that leads to destruction. But you see, Balaam couldn't see the angel for himself. And we have a very classic illustration of what sin does to us when we're rushing headlong to destruction. Peter called it madness. He said the ass rebuked the madness of the prophet. Insanity. And sin is an insane blindness. When we're going headlong to destruction, like this man was, we've got no concept of the way God sees us. He that lacketh these things is blind, says Peter, and has forgotten he was cleansed from his sins. Their hearts are hardened through deceitfulness. You know not, said the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're poor and blind and miserable and naked. And you see, that's what sin is like. It blinds us to reality. And when we're determined to do a certain course of action, we just cannot see our state before God. For those of you who've had the task of going to visit somebody who's determined to marry out of the truth will know what I'm talking about. It doesn't matter how much you tell them of what lies ahead. It doesn't matter how much you reason with them from the scriptures about the rights or wrongs of the issue. You get somebody with their heart locked on getting married, determined to marry out of the truth, will know exactly what Balaam's ass felt like. Now, there's a blindness there which is almost impossible to remove. Get hold of a brother who's going up in the world in his job and try and convince that brother that his job's killing him and his family. And you'll find what it's like to confront blindness. Or try and get hold of a young person who's determined to go out and try out the world and to tell them that out there is nothing but bitterness and emptiness and ashes in the final run. And you'll find what blindness can be like. And you see, Balaam was blind to his real state before God. And so he smote the ass. And it's often the lot of faithful burden bearers, of brethren and sisters, and young people who try and go and rescue somebody else from the error of their ways. They end up suffering the blows from those whom they're trying to save. They turn on you. And they bring up all the things you ever did in the past and all the things they've got against you. And all kinds of accusations come back in self-defense. It was the same with the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. And they cast it back at his face. When all the time he was dying that they might be saved. It's always been a lot of faithful burden bearers to suffer from those whom they're trying to save. And then he's given one more chance in verse 24. But the angel of Yahweh stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And there's a very distinct pattern in what happens here as the angel moves along to confront Balaam. The long suffering of God is delayed. He's carried yet further. He's given one more chance now. But you see, the options are being narrowed down. Before, there was a path, the way of Balaam, and there were fields on either side. Now there's a wall on either side. And there's a vineyard. And the options are being narrowed down. And that's the way the providence of God works. You go headlongward toward destruction, and God will narrow the options down until finally you have to confront the divine presence. And if we ignore the word of God, if we ignore the warning of faithful friends, the divine justice will close us in and close us in. It will frustrate us until finally the judgment falls and there is no escape. And in verse 25 we have the second confrontation with the angel. And again the ass sees the angel and Balaam doesn't. And the ass swerves madly across towards the wall and crashes into the wall, crushing the foot of Balaam. But there would have been much pain for the ass as well. He's hitting into that wall. And you see, if we fail to respond to the divine presence, if we fail to see in our loyal friends who are trying to take us out of the way of destruction, people begin to get hurt. And both the burden bearers and those who are rushing headlong get themselves hurt in the process. God resists the proud. And so there was a need in Balaam's eyes for him to smite the ass again. And again he picks up his staff and he begins to lay into this ass. And the poor ass not only has the problem of hitting the wall and the suffering that would have induced upon it, it now has the double hurt of Balaam then laying into it with the staff and heaping abuse upon her. And there's still no questioning in Balaam's mind as to why the ass is doing this. You think the man would have stopped and said, "He's never done this before. Why is this creature opposing me? Can it see something that I can't see?" But you see, the man's rushing headlong. It's madness. And that experience has been lived by burden bearers right down through history. And you see, with the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't just the pain of the cross that was hard to endure. The hardest thing that was to endure was the thankless rejection of those that he was dying for. "Thy rebuke hath broken his heart." And the loneliness was the greatest anguish that he had to endure. It's always been a lot of burden bearers to suffer in that way. The Apostle Paul said, "The more I love you, the less I be loved." He was rejected by those that he'd been stoned for, that he'd endured so many persecutions for. And the more that he loved, the less he was loved. And the more they seemed to turn against him at a whim. And burden bearers have often suffered scorn and pain from those who they've been trying to help. And we ought never to think that burden bearing is an easy task. It's not. But it's the law of Christ that we must do it. And so in verse 26 we have the final chance given to the ass. The angel of Yahweh went further. Look at the long suffering of God that's being shown here. Another chance given to the ass. But really there wasn't any options left now. And it stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And the options now had been narrowed so much there was nothing the ass could do any more to try and take Balaam away from the sword of destruction. And when the ass saw the angel standing in the way, she crashed to the ground and left Balaam standing right on his own 2 feet. You think what happens when an ass just collapses under you and its knees fold up? You're left standing on your own 2 feet. And the apostle said that we ought to try and bear one another's burdens. But in the end, every man will bear his own burden. And if you ignore the advice and the counsel and the warning and the attempts of faithful friends to take you away from the headlong rush to destruction, if you ignore the fact that there could be an angel standing in your way, you will find yourself standing right on your own 2 feet before the angel of God with the sword drawn in his hand. And that's just where Balaam ends up. And he smites the ass again in verse 27, and this time with a staff. And he began to lay into that ass with great vigour. And the greatness of the mercy of God gave him another chance to see the error of his ways. A miraculous intervention. God now attempts to shock the man into the reality of his situation. And incredibly, as we see that God opens the mouth of the ass, incredibly, Balaam begins to talk with an animal. You think he would recall back in amazement and say, an animal speaking, it must be the work of God. You think the man would have woken up. He was a last attempt to shock him into awareness and to remove the blindness from his eyes. But he begins to debate with the ass. And you see, when people are rushing headlong toward destruction, they just got no perception at all of the real issues of life. And they're impervious to the most obvious obstructions that God puts in their way. He still couldn't see the angel standing right behind him with the sword drawn. You see, that's the madness of sin. That's the blindness of sin. And when somebody sets their heart to do something against the will of God, and they're going on and they're going on and they won't take correction, they're just like Balaam. And we can be like that. It's madness, brethren and sisters and young people. And look how blind he was in verse 29. Even after the ass had said to him, "What have I done to thee? You've smitten me 3 times. Balaam said to the ass, "Because you have mocked me, I would there were a sword. If only I had a sword," says Balaam. "If only I had a sword." There was a sword there, all right, hanging right over his head. And you see, that's quite often the case with people who are rushing headlong to destruction. They're so blinded to their own situation before God. But oh dear, aren't they good at picking fault on everybody else? You get a brother or sister rushing headlong out of the truth, and they will tell you all the problems in the ecclesia. They can put their finger on every one of them. And they can accuse every one of the brethren. "Oh, that brother thinks he's so good, but I know this, this, and this, and this." And you see, if only they had a sword. And it's very characteristic of those who are rushing headlong out of the truth to be experts on all the ecclesial problems as a justification for themselves. And you think the man would have looked inwardly, wouldn't you? "Why is God making that ass speak to me?" But all he can say is, "If only I had a sword." And the sword was right there behind him. And then in verse 30 we have this wonderful reply of the ass. A reply that goes right through the skin of Balaam. That starts at last the man to think. And takes the scales of blindness away from his eyes. And the ass says, "Look, Balaam." And you notice the gentle response? There's no anger, there's only sadness. And that's the way burden bearers should be. The law of Christ, isn't it? The hands outstretched to bless. Bear the cruel nails impress. Willing to take what the Lord Jesus Christ took to an ungrateful crowd at his feet. And the ass very calmly says, "Balaam, think about it. I'm your ass. You've ridden me every day since I was born unto this day. Have I ever disobeyed you before? Have I ever, Balaam, smashed you into a wall? Have I ever dropped from under your feet? Have I ever tried to take you where you didn't want to go before? Balaam, think about why I'm opposing you." You see, brethren and sisters, that's the ray of light that penetrated Balaam's thinking. And for the first time, he considers the ass's point of view. And the blindness begins to fall from his eyes. And you see, the reason that he considered that was because the ass had a reservoir of goodwill on which to call. And there's a great lesson here for those of us, every one of us, who has the responsibility of bearing burdens. If you really want to be in a position to help people, if you want to be in a position to save those who are going to rush headlong to destruction, you've got to have a reservoir of goodwill and consistency, of faithfulness and friendliness to them. So that when they do go in the way of error, you've got something to call upon and say, look, brother, I've always been your friend. Look, sister, I've always been your friend. Or young person, I've always been your friend. I've always been loyal, haven't I? Listen to me while I tell you that you've got a problem. And the ass had a reservoir of goodwill on which to call. And Balaam thought, that's right. This ass has never done this before. And immediately he saw the angel. Because the still small voice of the faithful ass had penetrated his blindness. That's right. And you see, sometimes when our most loyal friends have always stood alongside of us, turn us and say, I'm sorry, brother, on this occasion, you're not right. We ought to take very careful notice, because they could be the ones that will save us from the sword of judgment. And God uses the wounds of a faithful friend on many occasions to give them the last chance before the day of judgment comes. And when a faithful friend turns on us, someone who's been loyal all their life and says, I'm sorry, but on this occasion you're not right, we ought to listen very, very carefully, because there could be an angel in the way and we can't see it. And it penetrated Balaam's blindness. But he said at the end of verse 30, he said, no, you never have done that before. The still small voice of reason was there. I'll give you an example of what I mean. There was a brother, a number of years ago now, came into the truth. A very lonely brother, had no family in the truth, wasn't married. And he was of a different race to the Australians. He was actually German in nature. Found it difficult to communicate, couldn't speak English really well. And just seemed to be one of those people that was there at the meetings, but because everyone else had their families and was busy, he drifted to the edge, and finally he stopped coming. And he said, oh, Brother Bill isn't coming anymore. Came to the next AB meeting and his name was brought up. And, oh dear, that's no good, he stopped coming to the meetings. And a very faithful brother, a very lovely brother with a great heart, went out to see this brother and knocked on his door and said, Brother Bill, why aren't you coming to the meetings? Brother Bill said to him, he said, do you realise, brother, this is the first time you've ever come to my place? I've been in the truth 6 years. You've never come to see me before, and the minute I stop coming to the meetings, you knock on my door. It was shattering to that brother. He says, you invited me out the week after I was baptised, but that was the last time. And you see, there wasn't the reservoir of goodwill, was there? And it's a tragedy that sometimes the first time we go and visit our brethren and sisters is when their name comes up at the AB meeting. And you haven't got a lot to appeal on. But if there's a record of consistency, of friendship, a consistency of loyalty and guidance in the things of the truth, of faithful service on their behalf, and the time does arise that they need to be corrected, you've got something to call upon. You've got a reservoir of consistency, and it was that thing that broke through Balaam's blindness. That's right. No, you've never done this before. I wonder why you're doing it. And immediately he saw the angel. You see what a wonderful thing it is to be a burden bearer?
And if we're in the position of Balaam at any time, rushing headlong to destruction, and a faithful friend comes to us and says, look, brother or sister or young person, I've always been your friend, but you're wrong in what you're doing at the moment. Look at it very closely. It may be there is an angel in our way and we're refusing to see it. Look at it very closely. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, says the Proverbs. Perhaps they can perceive something that we can't see about our course in life. Look very, very closely at what may be going on. So in verse 31, Yahweh opened the eyes of Balaam. For the minute that the still small voice of the ass began to penetrate his heart, his eyes were open, and he saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the way, and the sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And he's now going to get his very last chance in this discussion with the angel. His very last chance, and he fails again. But isn't it wonderful how the mercy of God keeps giving him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity? How God provided a faithful burden bearer. He hath carried our sorrows and borne our griefs. He was faithful when we were unfaithful. He has suffered the just for the unjust, that we might avoid this thought of judgment. And finally, Balaam falls flat on his face when he realizes that the sword that he would had in his own hand had been there all the time, hovering over his head. And then in verse 32 to verse 35, we have the final chance, the final judgment of Balaam. The first question that's asked of him, and here's the divine method, isn't it, of judgment that we talked about last night. Same method. Balaam, why did you smite your ass? Because it was me that was standing in the way, that was against your headlong rush to destruction. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned away, I had surely slain thee, Balaam, and saved her alive. Why did you smite your ass? And see, he's trying to get the man to answer that question. Balaam, look at why you were so blind. Look at why you ignored your faithful, loyal friend. And give a confession of yourself. But you see, what he got from Balaam was not a confession. It was a grudging submission to force. And Balaam realized he couldn't argue with this angel. He said, I have sinned, in verse 34, because I didn't know that you were there in the way. I didn't realize that you were there. Despite all the providence that God had given in the ass taking him out of the way. In fact, even an animal talking hadn't woken him up to his blindness. I didn't realize. And it will be no good to go to the judgment seat of Christ and say, I didn't know, God, what you really wanted me to do. I didn't know that you were trying to correct me. And there was nothing more than a grudging submission to force in the case of Balaam. And then look what he says next. You see, he's already confessed that he's not sensitive to the divine presence, that he's not sensitive to providence. He's got no answer as to why he smote the ass, a loyal and faithful friend. And then he makes an incredible statement. If it's evil in your eyes, I'll go home. When you get an opportunity, you make a comparison to this record and what happens to David when he confronts the angel with the sword drawn over Jerusalem. 1 Chronicles 21 is the record. And just look at the difference between this man's repentance and David's repentance. David took all the blame
He said, I have sinned. It's my fault. What have Israel done that they should be destroyed? God, destroy me, not them. And he accepts all the blame and repents. But not this man. He says, oh, well, if you're not happy, I suppose I better go home again. And you see, he failed his last chance. And God's finished with Balaam at that point. But the questioning of the angel had proved that there was no real repentance in the man. All there was a confession of ignorance. I didn't know. And so what God decides to do now with the man is to use him for a vessel for destruction. It's like Judas having left the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, having been given the last chance when the Lord gave him the sop. But the Lord said to him, all right, Judas, away you go. Do what you have to do. And he went out into the night, rushing headlong toward destruction. And the angel says, you can go with the men if you like, Balaam. But you'll only be allowed to speak what I tell you, you can speak. And he jumped on his ass and away he went. He said, you, I'm going to get the reward after all. And you see, the man was finished in the eyes of God. And do you realize from this point onwards that the angel refuses to talk to Balaam? Every time the angel meets him hereafter, he says, Balaam, say that. And Balaam's trying to reason with him and he says, no, Balaam, say that. Say that, say that. And he uses him as a voice piece only. And there is no more conversation between Balaam and the angel. And the man is finished because, having been brought to the bar of judgment, all he could say was, I didn't know. I didn't see you there. I don't know why I smoked the ass. If you're not happy, I'll go home. And it was the end of the forbearance of God as far as Balaam was concerned. Brethren and sisters, there are great lessons in Balaam and the ass. Remember, if we like Balaam, and faithful, loyal friends come to us and appeal to us that we ought to listen very carefully in case there is the sword of judgment hovering over us. But most of all, let's remember that we are fulfilling the law of Christ when we bear one another's burdens, when we go and we try and save people from the error of their ways. To do that, you need a reservoir of goodwill, of friendliness, of loyalty, and of service upon which to call. Build that up while there is opportunity. And remember, every one of us, to be aware of the providence of God. That in all of our lives, when things seem to be going against what we are desiring to do, be sensitive to the divine presence. Because there may be an angel standing in the way.